Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send us a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, prior shows are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to actually have a show about the civility rules. We talk about them a lot because they are pretty much the only type of rules that Recipe for Peace Now has. But what really are the civility rules? What's within our context? What do we mean when we say civility rules? And I see that I have lots of people here. Thank you all for being here. Yes. Oh, thank you. A whole bunch of people are saying that, because we do this every show, right, that the civility rules at their very core are that we will not be rude to one another. Yes, we will not be rude to one another. We need to reach consensus. We need to go forward. We need to have a successful outcome. We all have the same goal in mind, even if we want it for different reasons. Yes, because sometimes that happens, and it makes for a very diverse group dynamic. Sometimes with the civility rules, right, which at their core we will not be rude to one another, sometimes with the civility rules, you don't actually have to say them out loud. I usually do, I must confess it, when we start out and I make my little, well, kind of a speech about how it's going to be and what we're going to do and about the conveniences, right, where the bathroom is, how it works to bring some food, when we're going to have it, that kind of stuff. And I usually say the civility rules are in place and this is a rude-free zone. Yep, we will not be rude to one another, no matter what. Sometimes you have a group, yes. People are saying they don't usually see that kind of a group. Well, sometimes you do. If, for example, I do a lot of corporations. Now, sometimes the people in the room are extremely diverse. And sometimes they're kind of similar in mindset, right? And they all want the same successful outcome for really the same reason. Yes, sometimes, for example, they're all a certain level within the corporation, right? And they need to resolve some sort of an issue. And it's fairly straightforward. And since they're going to see each other again and deal with each other again, and they already know each other, you don't have to really enforce the civility rules, we hope, at least. But sometimes you have a very diverse group. And they would like the same outcome, but they want it for different reasons, or they'd like to flex some muscle. Or you've got perhaps a bully in the room. Someone who just wants to be, let's just say, less than civil. It's their nature. And yes, a lot of people are saying they got a bully. They want to make someone cry. Well, or cringe, right? Yeah. And because we're all adults, usually nobody cries. But they want to make people uncomfortable in the room because, yeah, people are using a bad word. But yes, because they are that kind of person probably. Or maybe they want to have negotiations fail. Sometimes you've got a spy in the room. You've got someone who is there in bad faith. And they want to make the negotiations fail. They have an interest in doing that. And it really, really, let's just say it's less than cool. Okay, can we say it that way? Yeah. They want to see the negotiation fail. So that happens. So what? And in those cases, you have to announce the civility rules, don't you? Right? Yeah. You have to explain them and explain that this is what's going to be. Mm-hmm. Yes, some of you are voting for write them down, maybe. Depends on the situation. Depends on the group is what I'm telling you. Sometimes the civility rules are inherent. You never have to mention them again because we're following them just by our natures and by the nature of the group dynamic. Sometimes the civility rules need to be written down and enforced and announced each time and like that. I've had groups where I've had to announce the civility rules after every break. I mean, really. They were really trying not to be civil. Mm-hmm. But by the time negotiations are kind of halfway through when we're really into it, you have to announce it less because they understand that's how it's going to be. Yeah, that's the key. So what else do the civility rules encompass? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michelle and Alexander and others are saying that the civility rules really mean that you treat everyone with respect. Yeah. Not be rude to each other. You treat everyone with respect. Mm-hmm. Yes. You treat them with the respect that you would like to be treated with. Yes. Yes. That's really kind of the key to it. Mm-hmm. Tavish and others are talking about listening with an open mind. Yeah. And a lot of people are using the words courteously. Yes. Courteous to your fellow group member. And they will act courteous to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose several people are saying that sometimes acting courteous, if it's kind of exaggerated, is kind of sarcastic. If that is happening and someone does the exaggeration because they're being less than courteous, really, but they're looking like they're courteous. I think the way to handle that, and I've seen it, is to accept that as extreme courtesy and to thank them. Yes. Oh, how lovely. You see, and pretend that you don't understand it's sarcastic. Mm-hmm. Because courteous is courteous, right? Yeah. Yeah, that'll stop them in their tracks. And then they will be embarrassed to be rude because they've already established that they're courteous. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you need to listen with an open mind. And I tell this up front, too. You guys know that I'm very big on transparency, and I know that you are, too. You have to actually tell your group things that you think might be obvious, but they are not. Always remember that you may have done this type of a negotiation, this type of a group, this type of an alternative dispute resolution, 1,000 times, but it's their first. Mm-hmm. And they're not quite sure, and they need to be told. I like to tell things right up front, and if you think it's appropriate, sometimes I preface with, I know this group doesn't need to be told, but, right? Yeah, because that's courteous. I pretend that I think that they know to be courteous. They know to treat each other with respect. They know that they're going to listen with an open mind and leave their preconceived notions at home, right? Yeah, because people like you to have confidence in them. And that is a courteous way of putting it, not just putting down rules. I know you guys are going to be rude to each other. Don't do it. Mm-mm. I know you guys would never dream of being rude to each other. But I usually say this anyway as part of my speech. You see? Yeah. It's a courteous way of doing it. It's a positive way of doing it. It's an assumption on the part of the leader that we're going to act like civil human beings. And that we understand the civility rules, and we fully intend to act on them. Yes, very important. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, Desmira and others, are talking about taking turns, right? And that's part of the civility rules. We will take turns. A lot of people are talking about raising hands. Yeah, I think that's kind of a good thing. If you've got something to say, instead of just butting in, to kind of raise your hand and indicate to the leader that you'd like to speak next because you've really got something pertinent to say. Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the leader, if the raising of the hands and the saying, you know, the kind of I need to say something now type things, and you can see that they are off track, right? And they're just, some people think that they know what they're doing, right? But kind of they don't. And they're not exactly breaching the civility rules. They just like to hear themselves speak, and it's just kind of a little speech, and it has nothing to do with it. Yes, I know several people like that. They won't recognize themselves when I say this because they listen to the show. But it's they kind of like to hear themselves speak, right? And they make little speeches when they where they refer to themselves in the third party. And I know this is going to happen. And it's not exactly breaching the civility rules, so they raise their hand like that. But sometimes if you've got that kind of a group, you can say, you know, everybody's going to get their turn to speak, and then we're going to talk about it at the end. We're going to do questions and talk about it, okay? Yeah, and so that you don't break it up, and somebody doesn't keep making the little pronouncements type thing. Because sometimes people really have something to say that pertains to this specific issue at this specific time that we need to consider. But sometimes they just like to get their two cents in, you know? And that's for towards the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for their turn to speak, right? Yeah. So you need to listen with an open mind. And as Desmira and others are saying, you need to take turns speaking, and you need to raise your hand if you need to kind of go out of turn. Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of people, Barbara and others, are talking about the civility rules are giving your full attention. Yes, your full attention. I've got some media rules because of that. Because, you know, now we all have that extremely tempting device in our hands, right? And it is tempting. We've got our phone, our tablet, whatever, and there's all kinds of things happening on it. I really do have a put down the devices, the mobile devices rule, and let's give this our full attention, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw this the other night. I went to a presentation. I was invited to, it's like a charity presentation, but it had to do with some real world issues, and what we're going to do about them. It was kind of a negotiation, and it was an important and interesting issue. And there was a panel of experts who had come to say what was really happening in the world. It was about human trafficking, which is really a big deal. And there's a lot of organizations that are attempting to do something about it, and we're trying to get them together so that they don't duplicate. Anyway, important, right? Interesting, right? Panel of experts, right? Real experts in the real world. And one of the experts was a youngish woman, and she was up on the, well, it wasn't a stage, but she was up in front of everybody. You know how they set up the chairs in front of everyone so that the experts can speak and answer questions? It was kind of a question and answer thing. When it wasn't her turn to actually answer a question or speak, she had her phone in her lap. You know how you cross your legs kind of across? And she was messing with her phone the entire time. She was looking down. She wasn't paying attention, and she was just using it the entire time while anybody else was speaking. And when she was the person that was the inquiries made of, she looked up and looked kind of annoyed and held the device kind of in her hand, right? And she had that, well, let's answer this quickly because I'm busy on Facebook look to her. It was incredibly rude. If I was the moderator, which I was not, I was the audience, and therefore it was not my place to do anything about it, I would have said, put that away. I really would have. Put that away. We're giving our full attention now. We're on. Yeah. So that's just me. But, yeah. So anyway, I do indeed have a let's give our full attention to these issues rule. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know the other thing about the civility rules, which quite a few people, Thomas and Barbara and others, are talking about, is that the leader, which is usually us, needs to be a good role model. We need to be a good example, right? If we breach the civility rules and are rude to someone, or not giving the group, the issues, our full attention, how can we expect someone else to follow them? We're not doing it, right? Yes, we need to have full civility rules. We need to be a good example. We need to show that this is important and we're going to get to the successful outcome promptly, right? Yeah, and not worry about the various personalities because we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the civility rules. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's take each of these. People are asking about them. Let's talk about no rudeness and treating people with respect. Mm-hmm. Muhammad and others are saying you need to treat others as you want to be treated. Isn't that really the crux of it? You need to treat others as you want to be treated. Yes. And you have to think about that. And you have to say, you know, I would not like someone to disrespect me, right? I will not disrespect you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Muhammad says that also you need to have to put aside any kind of bigotry about the person who is putting forward the opinion or part of the group. And yes, it is true. You need to really see people as individuals, not as some sort of an encompassing stereotype. And that's really the reason why Recipe for Peace now has the food in the room, right? The food is a tool to get us to get together in a non-adversarial way, so that we can really see each other as people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also it's a time for the leader, who is, of course, the good role model, to really be able to come round and say, you know, we're not going to do whatever it is being done. We're going to treat each other in a civil manner at all times. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. Treat others as you want to be treated. You know, that's really the essence of not being rude. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and others are talking about when the rude and respect area. You don't want to have disrespectful body language. Yes, disrespectful body language. How about rolling of eyes? How about making a noise, right? A sigh, a rustling. Mm-hmm. Lloyd and others are talking about making a distraction so that others don't listen to what the person who has turned it is to speak is saying, right? You know, sometimes you see that. I've actually seen it in court, sometimes in groups too, where somebody's making a distraction. They pretend to have lost something, for example, and go looking for it. And then they attract people's attention because they're padding around and they're looking desperately and like that. Where's my pen? Where's my pen? That kind of a thing, right? Yeah. And I actually stop and say, what on earth are you doing? They have to say that they're looking for their pen or something, and you say, it's right there. or here's another pen. Just, we need to listen now. See, because sometimes you have to be like a kindergarten teacher, right? Because they're distracting, they're pulling attention away, and they're doing it deliberately. They really are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people make a repeated noise when somebody else is speaking. A jingling of change, for example, a rustling, something that's distracting. I actually literally say stop that. I really do, just like a kindergarten teacher. Yeah, because they're acting like kindergartners, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Marsalis and others are talking about people who mime, M-I-M-E, mime, where they make faces and they point, right? Yeah. Just remember, no one likes mimes. Oh well, that's just my theory. But yes, and no, we will not have that as distractions. We will, as leader, we enforce the civility rules, and that is violating them. That's being rude. When it's your turn, you can mime, if you must. Mm-hmm, yes. Let's talk about an open mind, because it really is important to listen with an open mind, to actually not only listen with an open mind, but to take turns and listen with an open mind so that you can think about what the other people are saying, right? Yeah. Felicia and others are talking about taking proper turns and actually going around the room. I like to do that. I try. Okay, if you're doing a workshop or a seminar, you can't do that because it's too big, right? You've got a big audience. You've got, I've done auditoriums worth, if you know what I mean. And then if you're going to have questions, people have to stand up and go to the mic that's set up in the middle of the aisle. And quite frankly, we don't often get to all of those questions either. You have to kind of run towards the mic so that you can be first. Yeah, and so, yeah, we usually do that. Sometimes there's a roving mic with a person, people are asking about it. It depends. That would be like a medium room's worth, something where the person with the mic can get around. That's usually only used if you've got like tables, a room with round tables of 10, so there is room to maneuver, right? And you don't have to actually pass the mic down the row with a bunch of hands, which is clumsy and tends to make the mic do funny things, right? If I've got an actual auditorium, I set up a standing mic for questions, and it's in the middle. It shows up, and it goes into the middle of the aisle, close to the stage, the middle of the aisle, and people kind of head for it and stand in line. Roving mic is only good if you've got a person who can get around and doesn't let go of the mic. Yeah, my rule is that you don't hand it to someone, you hold it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise it's awkward, and sometimes you don't want to have to get it back. Mm-hmm. So picking proper terms with a set time limit. And the answer is, if it's a small group, I like to go around the group and give everybody a turn. See, it kind of depends. Do set a time limit for speaking. Because mainly what people want to do, if it is a negotiation and not a workshop, a seminar type situation, is they want to ask questions and they want to tell their side. They want to present what they think. Right? Right. And everybody needs the turn to get that, to do that. I like to time it. We've talked about this on prior shows, archivedrecipeforpeacenow.com. I actually like to have something in the room that times it so that everyone knows that they've been given their fair allotment. And because everyone thinks they have less time and somebody else got more time. Mm-hmm. I use an actual kitchen timer, the kind that goes ding, right? Yeah. And therefore, you can see how much time you've got left and that you've had exactly the same amount of time as everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real fair to do it that way. Mm-hmm. People ask me how much time I give people. It depends on the complexity and where we are in the negotiation, right? Maybe at the beginning, everybody gets 5 minutes to really explain their position and what they think, right? Excuse me 1 second. This is a live show. I am actually going to blow my nose. Just give me 1 second. Sorry. It shows it really is a live show. Like, oh, look, it's a live show. My apologies. Yes, eventually, about once a year, this is true, about once a year I do lose my voice completely and have to give up in the middle of the show. It's so weird. Not at the moment, though. Thank you for asking. Yeah, that happens to me occasionally. I don't know why. I seem to be susceptible. So, 5 minutes at the beginning, right? That 5 minutes is quite a bit of time. And maybe 2 minutes later on down the line. Also so that we could all take more than one turn, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So take proper turns. I do like to time them so everybody gets their chance. Mm-hmm. You know, Hussein is making a very good point that a lot of people are going to agree with. Hussein says to come prepared to discuss the issues intelligently and courteously. Come prepared to discuss the issues intelligently and courteously. And then he adds, watch the tone of voice. Yes, tone of voice is like body language, right? Sometimes something that seems not discourteous. Pardon me, after I said I wasn't going to lose my voice. Something that seems not discourteous is because of the tone of voice, right? We will not have sarcasm. We will not have nastiness, right? It's like exaggerated courtesy. Mm-mm-mm. We are going to treat each other with respect. And yes, I do make the requirement that everyone come prepared to discuss the issues intelligently and courteously. This means that you've had some thinking on them, right? And you might have actually done some research. Mm-hmm. Come prepared to discuss the issues intelligently and courteously. And watching the tone of voice is important too, yes. And the decibel level also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will not yell at each other. And the leader will be a good example of that too. Remember to never lose your temper. I don't care how annoying things have gotten. Don't lose your temper anyway. Yeah. It's a good point. Quite a few people, Pam and others, are talking about, for the civility rules, creating an atmosphere and a group dynamic of empathy. Mm-hmm. An atmosphere and group dynamic of empathy. And remember that empathy is understanding. It is not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding. It is not necessarily agreement, right? Yeah. So we need to have empathy. We need to think about it. We need to thank you. A lot of people are saying this. We need to break out the 5W questions, right? So that we can have empathy. And the 5W questions are who, what, where, when, and why. So we can get to the bottom of why do we have this opinion? Who, what, where, when, and why? Mm-hmm. For empathy, for understanding, right? And quite frankly, if we actually break out the 5W questions, and you know, of course, that you don't have to use all 5 of them at the same moment, right? Right. You pick whichever one is necessary. Because people email me and they say, you know what, that was an awful lot of the same answer for it. Well, you know, you're supposed to pick one and go for it. How about where or why? Why is my favorite, to tell you the truth? And sometimes you ask that in front of the group, right? And sometimes you ask it in more private during a time out, right? The 5W questions, whichever ones you're using. Because, A, you want to know the answer. And B, if you ask it kind of ahead of time, at the time out and like that, and you discuss it with the participant, then you can have a heads up as leader as to the answer. And also the participant can really formulate an answer. Sometimes the answer to the 5W questions is, I don't know, give me a minute to think about it. Right? Yeah. Why is that? And they have to really, they haven't really thought about who, what, where, when, and why. And they might change their own mind. Think about that. Well, especially the why. Because somebody told me. Well, gee willikers. Let's think about that for, as a reason. Think for yourself. Yeah. So sometimes they need to, people, the participant who's being asked the 5W questions needs to, a minute to think on them. Really analyze the reason, right? Yeah. This is a good point that Steve and others are making, that sometimes people need to modify their preconceived notions on all sides to reach consensus and move forward. Participants need to modify their preconceived notions on all sides to reach consensus and move forward. Yes. We all come in with a preconceived notion, let's face it, an idea of what we think is going to happen. And we're going to need to modify that so that we can reach consensus with this group at this time for these issues. Right? Yeah. Because every group is different. Because every group is made out of people. Right? And we need to get together and reach consensus on what we want and how to move forward. So we're going to have to leave some, modify some of our preconceived notions all around. And that really, really applies to the leader also. Because we've seen this before. Experience tells us that it often goes like this. But we can't make that a preconceived notion and try to force this group into that mold just because we've seen it before. Different people. Different group dynamic, different issues. Well, same outcome because it's going to be a successful outcome, but a different way of getting there. Yeah, it doesn't make it bad. It just makes it something you need to listen to with an open mind. Right? Right. Yeah, and people are talking about the full attention. People are asking, Cheryl and quite a few people are asking if I actually recommend confiscating mobile devices. I don't do it. A lot of you do, huh? I don't do put your device over there and turn it off. Well, yeah, I turn the ringer off for sure, right? Because that's very distracting. Yeah, I turn the sound off, and then this is really weird. My phone. And you know, I've got one of those smartphones that's not all that smart, either that or smarter than me. I can't make up my mind. And even though the sound is off, it still makes a beeping notification noise. Anything, any kind of an email or whatever comes in. So I actually turned that off, too, in the settings department. It's two different sound things. Yeah, isn't that strange? Somebody had to show that to me. I'm like, I've got the sound off, but it keeps dinging. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, it's kind of like, really? So you want to have full attention. I don't make it a policy to confiscate media, like leave your weapons at the door, unless people cannot keep their hands off it. And I've had groups like that. And then I do I ask people to turn down the sound and put it on the counter, right? Mm-hmm. In the States, I don't do it partially because everybody's device looks the same. There's a lot of iPhones out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't want to have a mix-up. I ask people to put it away. I deal with adults. I assume that they can and have something to put it in. Turn off the sound and put away media. Yeah, I've never had anybody argue with me about it. I'm not big on put it on the counter, confiscate it type thing. I'm really not. I think it could lead to a problem. And I think it shows a lack of trust in people's self-control. I suppose I would change my mind if I had a group that lacked self-control and really couldn't. They kept sneaking it, right? Mm-hmm. Walk up to somebody and confiscate theirs because they keep using it. Maybe. I was thinking about it because I was wondering if it violates the civility rules. Yes, but they violated the civility's worst first, as people are saying. I think I would. I think I would if it was real blatant, and I for sure think I would if it looked like somebody was blogging or tweeting. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that is important. We've got a rule, not just about full attention, but I don't know about confiscating. I don't generally do it. But we've got a real rule, a civility rule, about no texting or blogging or citizen reporting and like that while we're doing it. Not only while we're in session, but even when you get home or back to the office. It is not something that is for public dissemination, how we're doing the negotiations, right? We will designate a media, not just for traditional media, but for everything, somebody who we might even have a blog and we decide what goes on it, and then that designated person does it, right? Yes. Very, very important to have somebody be the media person, talk to the media, do the blogging, do the texting, do the outreach, and not everybody. Because somewhere along the line, whatever is said will be quoted out of context, and we need to have a unified media presence that we all agree upon and that has a focal point, right? Right. Yes, that's very important because you need to have a unified and approved message, as Ray says. Yes. You need to designate a media spokesperson. Now, frequently, the media spokesperson is the leader, kind of just naturally speaking, but that doesn't necessarily have to be. Sometimes the media spokesperson is somebody who has expertise, somebody who looks good because they have a degree, they've got credentials, right? Experience. Mm-hmm. That always looks nice because the media will kind of do a biography oftentimes and say who you are. Sometimes the spokesperson is the most articulate. Mm-hmm. Maybe even the most similar to the media person that they're speaking to. It doesn't always have to be the same person, right? But we should all know who's up for this particular media contact. And if it's us, we should do it competently and carefully. And if it's not, we should be behind the scenes kind of formulating policy, what to say, but not saying it, right? One at a time, media spokesperson. Very important to do that, even in today's idea of citizen reporting. Mm-hmm. Very important to have a media spokesperson. Somebody who deals with the outside world, right? And gives us a unified front, a unified opinion. Mm-hmm. People are talking about the participants having a short attention span, since we're talking about full attention. Suki and others are saying that people have a short attention span. What should we do? Sometimes that does happen. It may be that the issues are very complex, so you have to really, really digest. And that goes to the rule that I have, just a procedural rule that we've talked about, that if you've got teams doing research, and if they've actually found different kinds of research, hopefully all sides and not just one, and they've presented it, you need to have people present it before we get together, right? So that you have time to read it and prepare, as we talked about, right? Mohammed and others talked about being prepared, and really being able to intelligently discuss something. You need to submit research and things beforehand so that we can read them beforehand. When we get there, we can have full attention, right? Yes. And even if our attention span is short, as Suki says, but it may be because the issues are very complicated and we have to digest. It may be just because we've seen too many hip-hop videos and our attention span is just kind of short. You know, there's a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's exhaustion. If you're meeting after work and people are kind of tired, or you've been meeting for a while, you've been negotiating for a while and people get kind of worn out. If you see attention is flagging, right? Time for timeout. Time for some nice food. That's why we've got the food in the room. Yes, I think we are going to try to get to a recipe today. People are asking about sometimes we have such wonderful discussions, I don't quite get there. But this time I'm trying to leave maybe even 10 minutes. We might even get to two of them. I know you guys like it, and we've had several of these kind of wandering around for a while. But anyway, have a timeout. Take a breather, right? Let's revitalize the thought process. Yes, go have some coffee. People asking if I usually have some sort of like wine or beer. I would never actually have drinks, as in liquor, because I think it's bad for attention span, right? Sometimes, depends on the group. Sometimes it's good to have kind of a get-together beforehand, kind of a little reception, so to speak, where people know that they come a half hour early, they get to kind of mingle and say hello to everybody and maybe have a glass of wine and something to eat, yeah? Yeah, especially if it's the evening, right? Yeah. If it's a morning meeting, we usually have some sort of juice, something to kind of start the day, and a lot of coffee. Coffee always. You know, this is the United States had a lot of coffee. What can we say? Yeah, there's usually a hot water pot if you want tea. Tea's not as popular around here as in some countries, but yeah, sometimes people do. We usually have an electric kettle that's got boiling water in it and a bag and a box of tea bags. Yeah. Yes, yes, don't even argue with me. If you're in that's what makes business. That's why you take into account your area and what your people like and expect. Yeah. Around here tea not so much, but in some places coffee would be the oddity and tea would be more so. Yeah, you might even brew some tea. You might even do fancier tea than we do if we just put out the bag. Yeah, because it's an international show. You have to decide what would be good for your people. Yeah, so attention span, let's have a little bit of a break. Let's get up and shake our legs and have a bite, have something to drink maybe. Non-alcoholic usually, yeah. And then get back to it while our brains are feeling more aerated. I must confess, I get tired too. You know, sometimes I've done 3-4 of these in a day with different groups, and by the time I get to the lesson, I'm like, 3 deep breaths. You've got to have enthusiasm and be upright and act like this is your first one of the day. It's not their fault that you've done 3 before them. Yeah. Their first time. Be upright. And that leads us to the last area that we're going to talk about today, when it's civility rules, and that's having the leader be a good example. Mm-hmm. It is impossible to enforce the civility rules if you're not following them. Impossible to support, to enforce the civility rules if you're not following them. You need to follow the civility rules. You need to be a good example. And if, so you need to never lose your self-control, right? Always be the leader. And people are saying, what happens if you accidentally do? We're all human, and sometimes you might breach the good example rule. I try real hard not to. I fix a pleasant look on my face and go from there. But I've had a real lot of experience. And I must tell you that over the years, I have indeed occasionally lost some self-control, raised my voice, gotten frustrated. Mm-hmm. If that happens to you, and you have accidentally breached the civility rules yourself, apologize. Immediately. In the room, right now. Because you'll know it. You'll know that you for a minute there, lost your self-control. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of, oops. Apologize. Immediately. I really do. I haven't had to do it in a while, but I know that that's what you do. You apologize. Everybody takes 3 deep breaths. We might have some sort of a little time out, a break, because you need to take 3 deep breaths as a leader. And when we come back, the slate is wiped clean, and we go from there. Right? Right. Now, a lot of people are asking me some practical questions about the civility rules. So as a practical manner, how can we enforce the civility rules? What do you do? Because we are a practical show. We like theory as well as anybody. But we are real pragmatists. We want to know not just what to do, but how to do it. The answer is that the civility rules are always on top. I announce them. I don't like subtlety, probably because I don't understand it myself. And that's really the truth. I don't like subtlety. I don't understand it. I want people to just come out and tell me something. Tell me what you think. Tell me what needs to be done. Tell me. I don't want you to be subtle. Mm-hmm. And that's how the civility rules are. I tell them, and the key to the civility rules and enforcing them is you need to do it immediately. The minute someone breaches the civility rules and is rude or not gracious, not courteous, not treating someone else with respect, you must immediately invoke. Do not wait and think that it's going to get better or this is a one-time thing. You must invoke the civility rules immediately and not let it get out of hand and then try to get it back. Right? Yeah. I don't know if this is an Americanism or not. I suppose it is. But and this is, of course, a global show, but there's probably this expression everywhere. You ever hear the expression, quite a few people are bringing it out, it's no good to close the barn door after the horse has escaped? Yeah, the horse is already out. Closing the barn door is not going to help. Same thing with the civility rules. Do not let the group dynamic crumble and then try to enforce the civility rules. Kind of stick them out and go, now we're going to be polite to each other. Mm-mm-mm. You need to enforce the rules immediately and consistently. Even if you're tired, even if you'd like to let it slide, even if you're tired of saying that we will treat each other with respect, we will, you know, that making the speech. Immediately and consistently. My encouragement to you is it will get better. If you do it immediately and consistently, people will get the idea that they can't get away with fill in the blank, and they will act better. Mm-hmm. They really will. It'll be fine. It's just that it seems like it's going to be taken forever, but you need to do it immediately and consistently. Remember, it's like being a kindergarten teacher. Really, it kind of is. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, impartially, fairly. Mm-hmm. You're the third party impartial. You cannot show favoritism. Even if you secretly, being a human and having an opinion, even if you secretly think that one side is really more right than the other sides, right? No, we will enforce the civility rules immediately, consistently, and fairly, mm-hmm, impartially. Mm-hmm. And we will be a good example. Remember that. The good example part's the key to it, really. Mm-hmm. Even if you are enforcing the civility rules, you must be civil yourself. Mm-hmm. That's really the key to it, that we are the good example. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the purpose for a nice time out, right? You can see that the civility rules are about to be breached, or that somebody needs a little extra talking to. You might mention that if they don't kind of get more in line, that their superior will be brought in, for example. Mm-hmm. Or they will be asked to leave, mm-hmm, and get somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yes, but those are things you want to say in private. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a personal thing and you don't want to have confrontation, right? Right. And that's why we have the timeouts too. So that the leader, while we're having our convivial time out with the food and like that, can kind of take someone aside, right? Maybe more than one someone, and explain the civility rules and maybe ask some of the 5W questions, right? To find out what on earth is going on. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we are going to have some food in the room, so that we can have some time out, right? And also, I mean, we might be hungry, but it's also something that we can talk about, look at, experience together that is not controversial. It won't piss us off. Yeah. And so those are all good things. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have food, and we are, we're going to need to take a survey, which we're going to disseminate the results, of what kind of food allergies, prohibitions, religious prohibitions to certain types of food we have, so that no one has a bad experience. We're going to disseminate that information, and we're going to ask people when they bring something to bring a list of what's in it. Not just what it's called, meatloaf, but what is in it so we can judge if we can eat it. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. I think we should have at least one safe recipe in the room. The safe recipe has not too terribly many ingredients. They are ingredients that my people, therefore your people, may have different familiarities. I mean, in my area, curry would be unusual, maybe not in yours, because this is a global show. And my people would have eaten it before, know that they can, and according to the survey, everybody's fine. Mm-hmm, yeah. So we're going to start with a safe recipe because it's the one that we've been having hanging out. I don't know if we'll get to more than one. But it's the Italian vegetable stew. I like something that is capable of being spooned out with a big spoon as much as you want. And this meets that requirement because the pieces are in a convenient size. This is actually vegetarian, which is kind of nice if you wanted. You could, of course, add a protein to this. But if you do, you know, if chicken or something, you need to brown on all sides. It goes real nice with chicken. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are asking about putting in, like, leftover turkey. You know how I feel about leftovers, those of you who have been here before. I feel cautious about them because I'm cautious that they are properly stored. Mm-hmm. The key to anything is that it needs to be cooked through extremely well and stored properly. So I'm going to defer to your good judgment. Yes, I must confess that this Italian vegetable stew, I oftentimes add some sort of protein to it. It goes the best with a poultry or with a soft pork. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meat, well, I guess meat's fine. I just think that it's kind of a little tough. Yeah. Yeah, you could put meat in it, some sort of shredded meat. But it goes really well with poultry or with pork. Pork would, of course, make it an adventure recipe because there's lots of folk that don't eat pork. Mm-hmm. Lots of folk that only eat red meat, too. Okay, here we go. Here's the basic. You can add to it as you will. Just remember proper storage and cooked through. Mm-hmm. Let's have 4 garlic cloves. I really like garlic. You guys think that I use too much garlic. Use less. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know if this is only in the United States, but if you're in a hurry, which oftentimes I am, I've actually discovered, someone showed it, brought it to me as a gift. I'm like, yes, fabulous. I've actually found out that there's jars of minced garlic, right? It's fabulous. You just spoon it in. Oh, my God. Okay. 4 garlic cloves, the equivalent, yeah. Let's have some nice acorn squash. Mm-hmm. A really big one. I must confess that acorn squash is kind of a hard thing to cut and like that. I'm going to use frozen. It's easy for me and it's cheap. I'm going to use a package of acorn squash, maybe 2 if you like acorn squash a lot. If you're going to use the frozen, you, of course, need to thaw it and pat it dry. Mm-hmm. A nice big onion. I like the sweet kind that we're going to dice up. A nice big eggplant that we're going to slice. We actually make into smaller pieces than that. Slice and then maybe cut into quarters. 6 plum tomatoes. We're going to chop them up. Nice sliced carrots. Let's have 4 of them. Nice big zucchini. This is a vegetable stew, actually. We're going to slice that, too. Everything needs to kind of be sliced so that it looks nice, right? Let's have a red pepper and a yellow pepper, which you're going to seed and core and slice, right? Well, seed, core, maybe cut into chunks. Slicing those is kind of uneven, and then they fall apart. Let's do chunks. Mm-hmm. If you can find it, fennel is kind of nice in this. It gives it a little licorice-y flavor. So let's have a fennel bulb that we're going to slice up nice and thin. You know that that needs to be washed very well because it tends to have grit on the inside. So do that. Mm-hmm. A couple of bay leaves, which we're going to remember to fish out. If we're going to do the fennel bulb, and even if not, let's have like a half teaspoon of fennel seeds. Gives it a nice extra punch. A little bit of dried thyme and oregano, just a pinch. I'm going to put a couple of tablespoons of sugar in this just because I like sugar. I like to have the sweetness. I'm bigger. I go more towards sweet than spicy. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Let's have about a half cup of olive oil, mm-hmm. A cup of vegetable stock, about a cup of basil leaves, which we're going to kind of chop roughly. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's about it. We're going to take all that stuff. We're going to, of course, chop the garlic and dice the squash and like that. And the bay leaves and the whole bit. All of it, we're going to throw it in a pot. We're going to mix it together. We're going to add the oil and the stock. A little bit of oil helps with the stock and makes it more tasty. I know it seems weird to just add it in and not fry something in it. Well, you could have fried the protein if you need to do that, but you know, cooking it. But the answer is put everything together, right? Boil it, reduce the heat, cover, simmer 30 minutes, right, until everything's nice and tender. You might think about adding the squash a little bit later in the process, depending on how kind of firm it looks, right? Yeah, because if you're usually frozen. It's a real easy recipe. It's kind of a dump-in-the-pot-and-make-it recipe, my favorite kind. And it is delicious. It smells really good in the room because you could simmer it and put it on the heat if you've got a stove. Cause it takes about half an hour. It's kind of a very thick soup. It's really a stew, which is what stew is, right? It's thick soup. Add to it as you will. I must confess that oftentimes I like to add a cup of white raisins to it. I think it's delicious, and it gives it a little bit of sweetness. Mm-hmm. Add protein if you'd like. Add different vegetables if you'd like. Whatever you can get your hands on. The key is to make them soft but not squishy, right? Yeah. So you simmer it for about half an hour because everything's about the same consistency and hardness, right? Right, yes. Delicious, easy, smells nice in the room if you have the facilities to simmer it there. Yes, you'll like it. That was our safe recipe. Vegetarian, fabulous. Yes. Be sure that if you're not going vegetarian, you haven't marched into adventure, and if you have, make sure everybody can eat like pork or whatever it is you're using. That, my friends, was the safe recipe. We are out of time. Next time we'll get to the adventure recipe. I say two recipes, and then we never quite get to the two, do we? Because we have such a fabulous discussion. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. If you want to find us, we're recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they're archived on that website. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.